I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 531. I wasn't gonna touch it. Then I touched it.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming to gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
Very good. Life is good. Sometimes Skype can suck it. Or rather, Microsoft can. You know, I've just had the most...
You're not having a great week with tech.
I have such a rocky relationship with Microsoft in particular. For whatever reason.
Well,
you know,
it's kind of your fault. I mean, the first time that you had a problem with your Microsoft, with your account, was because you got suckered in and got phished.
Yes.
So it wasn't really Microsoft's fault. You did the thing that everybody tells you not to do. Which is, don't click a link in an email that makes you log into your account. Just go directly to the website and log into your account. Because
yes,
people be making emails that
fished.
You got phished. So that really wasn't Microsoft's fault.
I mean, it also is my fault for my memory kind of sucking. So long story short, ladies and gentlemen, there was a virus going around on Skype like forever ago. And like literally it just kept bouncing links to people. Like I never clicked the link. I always reported it. But Skype was like, yeah, people who leave their Skypes on have been getting this, like, link chain thing, so just shut off your Skype. So I was like, oh, okay. So I shut off my Skype. And then the next weekend, I got married, so I didn't need to be on Skype. And now we're back. And I go to log into it, and I can't remember my password to save my life. I use an Apple, so I thought I had it in my keychain. I don't. So I was like, oh, I'll just reset it and recover it. Well, remember, Microsoft is very keen on its security, and you have to prove beyond a fucking
shadow of a doubt
that it's you. And while I've given them all the information for safety, the last bit of information they wanted was like, oh, if you've used a credit card to pay for your, you know, Xbox Live subscription or blah, 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 which I haven't done in years because now I'm on my husband, so I didn't have to pay for that anymore. So, like, no, haven't done that since I moved into our house, so I don't have anything on file. And they're like, yeah, we're unable to verify that it's you, so we're locking your Skype account. And it's like, fuck. So I literally just had to recreate a whole new Skype account so that I could do my fucking show that I've done for, what, 11 years now?
Yeah, like, you know, been, I mean, like, you've been doing it for a little bit, like for a minute.
For a hot minute.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, fuck you, Microsoft. Like, fuck you.
Like, I don't even know, like, as far as, like, hours of podcasting we've done, like, what that translates into minute-wise.
I don't know.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
But,
I'm going to go with it's a lot.
But needless to say, because I don't put my credit cards out there for people to steal.
Which is smart.
It's smart, but it's also dumb. So sometimes to be smart, you have to be dumb. Just remember all your fucking passwords.
You have to be smart to be dumb. Wait, no. You have to be dumb to be smart.
Anyway,
you got a Skype account now, and we were able to do the podcast, and we're back from break, and yay, right?
I get to go back to being just Pandalicious again. No longer consumed by the wedding demon, no longer being super practical about life choices right now. Like, apparently.
Yeah. Ready? I already did my adulting for this year. Boom. So now I throw it on the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
And let's buy all the things.
Well, no.
No?
That's the great thing. I have not. So, I mean, like, weddings are great.
Yeah.
Like, gifts are very thoughtful. Like, mm-hmm. we still have, like, now it's playing like Dollhouse, but for real. Like, I just got a brand new Dyson vacuum. Where the fuck am I putting that? Oh, I just got 4 new copper mule mugs. Where am I going to put those? Oh, well, I have my shadow box for my guest book. Where am I hanging that? Like, now I'm doing all that shit. We're playing games, waking up at the ass crack of dawn to play games, which, let me segue into that, because I'm going to go first this week.
Yeah.
Because I got stuff to say today.
You got to get it out, girl.
Our best man was so awesome. And for his wedding gift to us, he got us a Switch, which is kind of hard to do
right now. I don't even have a Switch.
Like, it's kind of hard. If you didn't pre-order it, you couldn't back-order it, and now you're, like, waiting for the graces of God to, like, produce more. And our best man was, like, hunting, like, all the boards, waiting for, like, the, oh, God, Target's going to get, like, 20 of them in this location. And, like, he was on the grind. And he happened to find one. And he was going to save it. Like, he was going to keep it for himself. But then he's like, no, I am the best man. And he gave it to us.
And I'm going
to
be the best man.
Best man. And he was, until he got us all sick. But that's besides the point. But he got us a Switch. And our Switch came with Zelda Breath of the Wild, which at first I was like, nah, I'm not gonna get into that. Like, I was really big into, you know, Twilight Princess. I didn't get into the bird one because I thought that was stupid. And it didn't seem all that interesting. And then, like, my husband sets up the Switch. He turns it on, and, like, all the clicks sound right because, like, it's attractive. Like, Nintendo really does know how to make things, like, to lull people into, like, a hypnotic trance that makes them buy shit on their e-stores. Like, the music's always so approachable and friendly. Then you just want to just keep clicking through because each click is very satisfactory, very much like the setup of your Switch. You know, it's kind of surprising that the little disc that the Zelda card Breath of the Wild is, it's literally the size of a 3DS disc. Like, it's not big.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? And the husband started playing it, but he didn't really get into it. And I'm like, I'm not going to touch it. And then I touched it. And I liked it a lot.
Yeah, that's what happens when you touch it. You end up liking it.
You're liking it. And so that's what has been consuming my mornings from, like, 4:30 a.m. until, like, he fights me for the TV, which happens a lot, especially right now, because I just want to play Zelda and get all the things until, like, I go to bed at, like, 9. So, like, I've been, like, amassing up gamer hours that I have lost through, you know, wedding planning and stuff. But let me talk a little bit about the game and what I feel is happening in the narrative, because, I mean, this is so open world. If you get too caught up in what you're doing, you kind of forget what the narrative is. And I don't know if that's to its detriment or not. Go on this journey with me, and, like, maybe we can figure this out while I talk about this, Ninja. So
I'm with you.
So in the Breath of the Wild, you are Link. And as the game starts, very similar to the opening of Last Guardian, you are waking up. And, like, there's this golden light. And instead of symbols, like, it's just this gold light. And you hear this voice calling out to you. And it's just like, Link. Link. Well, I mean, it's more romantic than I'm saying it, but you get the idea. Like,
it's not Link. Like your mom trying to wake you up.
It's like, Link, wake the fuck up. You gotta go to school. No, it's more Link. Like, and it's called, it's like, you need to wake up. You need to return. And then it flashes up. And, like, you see this bit, this, like, scientific sort of rural, like, person pod with, like, blue liquid, and it drains out. And there's Link in, like, his man board shorts, like his very trendy board shorts. And, like, he's been, like, reanimated or, like, unfrozen, sort of. You don't know. And you're in this, like, underground cavern, and this voice is like, come over to this thing. Pick up this Sheikah slate. It will help you get outside. And you're just kind of following this voice. And once again, Link is not voiced by anything. So he's just kind of, you know, a puppet on a string, just doing whatever this voice says. You get out of the pod. And, like, as you go running out of it, like, the sun is cresting, and it's this beautiful landscape, and boom, logo. Still no explanation as to what the fuck's happened. But the world is looking very proto world. Like, not a lot of buildings. It's very open. There are, like, goblin things running all over the place. And here you are in your board shorts, no shoes. You got nothing. You just naked. naked baby in the woods, essentially. Well, you're a man.
You're a badass Link.
Well, no, you got your board shorts on, but you're mostly naked with no shoes on. And you walk down this hill and there's this dude, like this random old ass dude in all black with like this weird staff with a lantern on it. He's just kind of like, I've been the only human around here for like a while. So I feel like my purpose was to wait for you. So come sit by my fire. Let's like talk this up. You know, and Link is, you know, always about the word. So, like, he just sits down. And the guy's just like, yeah, Calamity Ganon, which is, like, this ultimate evil. See that castle over there with that smoke and shit? That's Calamity Ganon. So now Ganon's not, like, a pig sorcerer anymore. Now he's, like, this universal entity of evil. Like, think, like, Jafar, Puffy Genie with a pig snout sort of thing going on. So he's like this evil dark cloud of like eminent evil and whatever. And 100 years ago, Ganon, Calamity Ganon, was prophesied to hit Hyrule. And Zelda's like, hold up. I got the Triforce of Wisdom. I'm like really fucking smart. Link's my dude. He's my ride or die. Like, we got some technology. They're called the Divine Beasts. Go find me, like, 4 elite fucking pilots. So it's got Mecha in it, sis.
What?
Mecha, ancient, like, tribal coral Mecha. Go get me these pilots who can learn to control these Divine Beasts. And we'll make these other, like, robots that kind of look like a cross between the, robots from Ghost in the Shell, the anime That's series, cool. not the movie, kind of like those, but also like the Exterminators, the Exterminate from Doctor Who. So put those together, give them a few more tentacles, and we'll make these guardian things, and they'll help the Divine Beasts and their riders and Link take out Calamity Ganon. And like Calamity Ganon's like, you know what? I'm really kind of sick of losing. Like, every 100 years I show up and I get spanked by this bitch and her dudes. It's kind of like Nicki Minaj getting Drake and Wizzy to drop on a track and, like, destroying Remy Ma. Like, if you have to relate it to something, it's kind of like that. And, like, in this case, Remy Ma's like, fuck no. And, like, last minute, Calamity Ganon pulled some crazy shit and, like, takes out Link, like, converts the Divine Beasts and corrupts their drivers. And also manages to, like, corrupt the programming of the Guardians. So then the Guardians are taking out people and, like, are hitting on, you know, are destroying the Divine Beast alongside Calamity Ganon. And Ganon fatally wounds Link. And, like, Link is dying. And Zelda's like, oh, fuck. And she, like, tells her people who are, like, who still manage to be alive, like, her, like, ancient crew, like, her advisors and shit. Take him to the Resurrection Chamber. I got this. And she goes and she does some holy shit because apparently now she has the blood of a goddess in her. And I have yet to really delve into that now in the lore. But she uses her divine god blood to like seal Ganon in the castle. And she's been fighting him ever since. So, you know, it's been a while for you. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and like you got to learn how to fight again. You got to find all your shit again. You need to find out what happened. You have to not get raped by the Guardians because they're so OP when you start out and like they're still OP for me. But regardless, like this is just you coming back and regaining yourself because through the resurrection, you have lost all of your memories. So you don't have your sword. You don't have your shield. You don't really remember Zelda, you know, that bitch that saved you. You don't remember nothing. Who dis? New number. Who dis?
Who dis?
Essentially. Who dis? And that's exactly what is happening to Link in this whole thing. And the lantern guy is like not telling you exactly how he knows all this stuff, but he's like, you know, there's like, you know, that tower over there is still kind of relatively like full. You should go like check it out when like you're ready. And I was like, fuck that. I want to walk around. I want to pick things off trees because literally you can touch.
You need to listen to your elders.
I have problems with it apparently. And I was like, I'm not going there. I'm like, that's the quest thing. I'm like, I'm going off the path. I'm out in the wild. I'm going to see what happens. Death. Death is what happens in the wild, okay?
So listen to
constant, perpetual death. Anyway, so I mean, unlike in most Zelda games where, like, you come across weapons and, like, you have them forever. And, like, in the initial, like, you had your set and they did their things. Now shit's breakable. And, like, for the first few hours of this game, you are fighting with, like, tree branches, rocks. If you're lucky, you find, like, a busted halberd or, like, a giant stick that's supposed to be, like, a spear. The goblins and shit you're fighting have the exact same, you know, weapons as you, but they're also, like, huge and bulky and shit. And you're like, oh, fuck no, I gotta be all stealthy. I have to, like, learn how to, like, shoot people in the head from, like, a very far distance. And I have to calculate, like, wind effect and shit. And now the weather. Like, living is hard. I don't think we realize as people how hard living is until we have to, like, do it in a game. And, like, when a developer has decided that they're going to try to make this as close to actual living as they possibly can simulate. Because, like, you got to cook in this game, which means you got to forage, you got to grab stuff. And there's no cookbooks anywhere, guys. You literally have to grab shit off trees and, like, kill frogs and, like, these monsters and shit. And put, like, their horns and shit in pots and hope that it turns into food. There is a type of food, and it's called dubious food in the game. And literally, it is so ugly, they pixelate it out like it's porn. Like, it's so disgusting, they can't even show it to you. It doesn't kill you, and it will restore, like, one heart. But, like, when Link has to eat it, he literally just shoves it down his throat because he can't even smell it. So, like, he emotes so well. Like, the emoting is really, like, top-notch in this game. Like I said, weather really does play, like, a huge factor in stuff that's going on. I didn't realize it at first because, yeah, I found my first, like, coldish area where, like, yeah, I was taking cold damage. And I was like, well, I should probably put on a shirt since I'm still just in my board shorts with no shoes.
Yeah, so you don't want to go, like, into the icy tundra in board shorts.
Right. So I was like, I'm like, it's about time I, like, put some clothes on. So I should probably, like, find some clothes, which was awesome. Like, they don't give you shit. You got to find all your shit. And then, you know, you eventually find, like, a worn T-shirt and, like, things that pass as pants that also have boots attached to them, whatever. And, like, even then, like, the cold still bothered you. But, like, sometimes you have to trek through that. I've gotten to the point now where I can find horsies, which is, like, I had the same reaction to when Ellie saw the giraffe in Last of Us as I saw when I saw horses. I was like, what?
Every time I see the section of Ellie seeing the giraffe in my head, the music when you first see the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park playing.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. And so I was like, oh my God, there are horses. And I could, like, I thought I could just roll up and jump on one, very much like GTA. Fuck no, you gotta break those horses in. They're wild. They don't want you on their back. So you gotta, like, soothe them while not letting them buck you. And I'm like, man, everything is a fucking hustle in life, which I think is kind of the point of the game. But that's beside the point. I finally got my clothes and I found, like, better weapons and, like, got myself some metal that isn't rusted AF. But then I'm walking through the rain and then it starts to lightning and all of a sudden, like, I kept being struck by lightning and, like, literally I would reload my game and as soon as I touched ground, like, I would start to spark up and then I would get, and I'm like, what the fuck is it? And then I realize it's because I'm holding metal. So then I just sit there and change to, like, my busted ass shield and my busted ass wooden sword that I found. And then I wasn't being struck by lightning. And I'm like, damn, game, you savage. Like, you straight up sat, like...
No, nope, it's just detailed.
I'm just saying that back in, like, we take a lot of things for granted in our game universes that don't affect our characters and our, like, our sprites and our models. But, like, games that take into account those simple things just add this increased element of difficulty. Because, like, you have to be paying attention to the weather. You have to be paying attention to where you're walking. And because, you know, weapons, you know, they don't last forever in this world. And you can't repair shit, which I don't understand why they did that. Because you should be able to repair shit, but you can't repair shit. So, like, when you break shit, it breaks forever. And, like, And then you're sitting there and you're holding on to like a level 50 sword or a sword that does 50 damage. And like you got 8 sticks with you and you're going to go through all those sticks before you even think about that sword because you don't want to waste it on like these little guys. You want to wait until like a big threat shows up, you know, and it has a very not Demon Souls, more like Dark Souls 2 and 3 element of, you know, bosses just being out in the world. And until you like walk into the area, they don't show up. So you think you're in this nice, beautiful patch with this giant rock that you want to climb and, like, take a nap on. Nah, it's a talus giant, and it wants to rip your face off. There's just so much going on. Like, it's highly physics. Like, there's so much physics going on in this game. There's a lot of voice acting outside of Link, because, like I said, Link doesn't speak. But everybody else sure does, or at least they all make random noises. Surprisingly enough, there are some clothing stores, like, where you can get clothes later when you figure out that people still live and actually there are rupees in the world where you could still buy shit. And some of the ladies who run the clothing stores are their voice acting is very suggestive. So like every time I'm just looking at a helmet, she's like, oh, it's really kind of disturbing. Because if you don't know, if you're not watching it and all you're hearing is this lady who's owing all the time, like you think you're like in like
a brothel.
Or a Bayonetta cutscene. Like, it's a little uncomfortable, but you're still doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm very surprised at how immersive the world is and how approachable the immersion is. Like, I think they are taking such a great direction from... They're kind of rebooting the franchise, but they're really not because this is now happening past all the Zeldas and stuff that we've ever fought before, like we've ever played through before. But it's a great way to introduce these newer mechanics that, like, I'm sure they would have loved to have introduced in those games, but, like, the technology just wasn't there. And now, like, with the Switch and the Wii U, because you can get Zelda Breath of the Wild for the Wii U, for those of you guys who are still living that life, yeah. Like, if you want to, it's amazing. Now, graphic-wise, because I do want to talk a little bit about graphics, like I said, like, the world itself, I think is absolutely stunning. Granted, when you compare it to games like Horizon Zero Dawn or whatever the fuck it's called, yeah? Is that it?
Which you still need to play, because I can't.
The husband is playing it, so, like, in between me playing Zelda, he's switching to that. And he's like, see how beautiful this is? I'm like, I think Zelda is equally beautiful, but for different reasons. Zelda is beautiful on the inside. Like, okay, we have these
arguments. She might not be a 10 on the outside, but she got personality.
When you're comparing it to, like, engines, like the one that, like, Horizon Log Zero, whatever the fuck is on, hands down, like, Horizon Zero Dawn is going to be a gorgeous game. But, like, this shouldn't diminish what Zelda is doing. Like, I think Zelda is equally beautiful. I just think that it's realistic without being realistic. Like, it's within the realm of the lore and what we're used to seeing it depicted as. So, like, if we'd never seen Zelda up until now, then, yeah, I'd be like, oh, man, those graphics are shit. But, like, coming from the fact that I played Zelda and Link to the Past... And A Link Between Worlds or whatever the fuck that one was called.
Yeah, I played original Zelda on the NES system, so...
So from that Link to this one, you're like, yo!
We've come a long way, baby.
Absolutely. So, like, you can't compare the graphic animation styles.
It would be...
They're different.
It's unfair to do.
Wouldn't be fair. It would be unfair. There is so much going on. And the simple fact that literally nothing stops you from adventuring except for your ability to walk through a place and or your own limitations as a player.
So talk to me about the dungeons.
Yeah. Oh, God. So there are these shrines that pop up. So literally, like, when you're talking to the old lantern dude, these towers and these shrines all start popping up from the earth. And he's like, oh, see, your coming was foretold. Like, you need to travel to all these things to help fight Calamity Ganon, blah, 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 blah. But you got to climb up to this tower so we could, like, scout out the terrain and shit. So, like, climbing, like, literally you can climb on anything in this game, and you have to climb up this giant tower. You do have a stamina bar, so, like, this is no, like, Kung Fu Grip, Nathan Drake bullshit. Like, you need to plot out where you're going, because you don't got the stamina to sit there and figure it out. You are a human with limitations, and this game wants to constantly remind you of that. But when you finally get up there, like, parts of your map on your Sheikah slate, which is, like, essentially, like, a giant
Tablet.
Yeah, it's like a tablet or like a note, like a Nokia note or whatever, whoever did the note. Samsung, was that Samsung?
Yeah. You
did the note?
Yeah.
Is that the one that blew up? No, yeah. That's
a Galaxy.
It's a Galaxy 7? Was it 7?
Yeah, 6
and then 7. Their factory blew up.
Then their dishwashers started catching on fire. Then not the dishwashers.
Which is sex. We have a
their
Samsung
washing machines dishwasher. Started catching on fire.
Yeah, see, and we got Samsungs in our house. We're like, fuck. But anyway. But yeah, so you're literally carrying around this giant tablet. But when you're up there on those towers, like, it syncs up. And you can actually, it will map out the terrain. So you know, oh, those are mountains over there. There's ice over here. So you don't know what anything's
it's
called.
It's like when you synchronize an Assassin's Creed off of a big tower.
Yes. Except, like mm-hmm. I said, like it will plot out mountains versus plateaus, but it will not just drop icons. Okay. But it gives you the ability that when you're walking around the Earth, like the world, if you want to mark them, you can mark them on your Sheikah slate. So you do all the stamping. The game doesn't do it for you. You got to find that
well,
shit.
Damn!
Like, this is true collectorism in a way that I wasn't sure I was going to like, but am kind of strangely addicted to. So you have those. You have those towers. So you need to get to all those towers so that you can see the whole maps. Now, granted, there are guardians that will rape your face. There are hidden bosses that will rape your face. And then there are just powerful monsters that are just roaming around that will also rape your face and then email it to your mom. So, like, you can't just...
Nice.
So, no, it's not. But, like, you have to eventually start venturing and you have to start thinking outside of the box because you need to get those towers to get the information to know where you're going. Then on top of that, you have these shrines. There's a shit ton of these shrines and they are trials by this goddess. So the goddess that Zelda has the blood of, her name's like Hylia or whatever, and she's like a goddess and she loves everybody because that's what goddesses do unless you're Hera. And then you hate everybody.
And then you hate everybody. Well, but it's Zeus's fault for putting his penis where it doesn't belong.
Right.
All the time.
Hylia's like, I love everybody and I just want everyone to be happy. And, like, I'll bless you, but I need these spirit orbs from these shrines and I have, like, followers who are devoted to me. And literally these monks all constructed these trials and these shrines and literally, like, died in them. But their essence still, like, haunt. I don't want to say haunt because that sounds more negative. But their entity, their spirit is still present in the trials for anyone who finds the shrines. They're pretty much just the method in which Link can, one, learn the skills that he needs to just survive. Two, get the spirit orbs that will allow him to increase his stamina and his heart containers. Because when you start, you only got three. You got three heart containers, you know, and most things will hit you and kill you in one shot until you, like, get these spirit orbs. And you need four of them to up your stamina or your heart containers. So, like, you got to be on the grind for these freaking shrines. Like, and then you have to pass the shrines in order to get the shit. So it's not even like finding it, here it is for me. No, you got to prove yourself. There's so much more respect, I feel, for Link as a knight in this world than they've ever established for Link before. Before, it was just, hey, I'm a knight, and I'm trying to get that push. You know what I'm saying? So I'll do whatever I need to do to get Zelda to be like, you can have it.
I'm sorry. You're a knight and you're all like, what?
Trying to get that royal puss.
I just wanted to make sure I heard that correctly.
Yeah, you did. No, I'm just saying, like, the grind was always, hey, I'm this knight, I want Zelda, like, bad, and I'll do whatever I gotta do to get it. And, like, sometimes she's like, no, but she really means yes. And that's why women just need to say what they mean and mean what they say, because you can't be playing this hard to get and then be like, nah.
I don't even have a comment. I don't have a comment.
This is why God made me a woman, because if I were a man, I'd be insufferable. You would be,
seriously. I would be the biggest of fuckboys. You would be the biggest fuckboy on the planet.
I'd be like,
oh my
send
God.
Nudes.
Oh my God, you would. All the time.
So that's why I was made a woman, so that I could learn how to respect myself and my gender. Anyway.
Work on that. Continue to work on that, because that's definitely a work in progress.
But anyway.
I'm going to give you an incomplete for that class.
So like I said, like, the world has, like, been, like, devastated. You have been completely wiped of all of your memories. One of the magical powers of your Sheikah tablet, S7 G+, whatever you want to call it, there's a camera option, which is the last ability that you get. So you can take pictures of shit. Not that anyone can, you can't post it to your Instagram, but you can take them.
Because you forgot your password.
Well, I mean, well, I know Link did because it's been 100 years. How the fuck would he remember it? But anyway, the functionality is broken when you first get your Sheikah Slate and you meet this scientist who restores it. And believe it or not, there are 12 photos still left on the Sheikah Slate, which she's like, I think Zelda left those because she knew that your memory would get wiped in the resurrection machine. So you should go to these 12 places and maybe it will, like, restore your memories. And it, like I said, it's one of the biggest things besides defeat Ganon. It's like, get your memories back. So I'm actually doing that biggest part of the quest right now. Like, I'm trying to find shrines, but, like, I'm like, they're giving Link more story outside of him just being this knight who is meant, you know, to encounter the
Triforce and Zelda.
Right, like get the Triforce of Courage, save Zelda. Which, granted, I've never understood that because the bitch has the Triforce of Wisdom. She should be smarter than this, but you know, whatever. Like, I didn't write the lore. I didn't do it. That's right. He's the Saber of Hyrule. He's supposed to get the Triforce, and he needs to defeat Ganon, who has the Triforce of Power. I don't know why these three couldn't just, like, take over Hyrule and be, like, a monopoly, because with the Triforce, they'd be all-powerful. But hey, it's not my lore. Not my problem.
Kind of your problem, because you're playing the game.
Like, there are just so many things that could, like, solve the issue. Zelda would let Link, like, get it in a couple of times, oh, just so he could stop thinking about it, and then he would be, he'd be all good, he'd still be all courageous and shit, she'd be all wise and shit, and, like, Ganon could be the muscle, like, they could run the most, like, prestigious amount of strip clubs and, like, bodegas, like, across Hyrule, and no one would ever challenge that. Because they got the Triforce, you know what I'm saying? But I'm restoring his memories, because, like I said, they're giving him more of a background now. So as I'm going through some of them, and there are 12, and I've currently collected, I think I've got 4 of them. And, like, sadly, I think you should do them in a particular order, which sadly I'm not, but I'm actually taking notes because I want to piece the memories together the right way.
So what do you have so far?
So far in his memory, remember, Link never speaks. So, like, this is all through dialogue of other people. So the biggest nugget that I've gotten was when the Master Sword finally, like, picked Link to, like, wield it, because it's a magical sword and it links itself to the hero who's meant to save Hyrule. And Zelda was hoping that the Master Sword would never have to come into play. Like, she was hoping the Divine Beasts and these machines would take care of Calamity Ganon, and she would never have to tap into the source of the hero. So she sees, at least from this snippet of this memory, it seems like Zelda isn't all about Link, because she feels that she has failed in her godly blood abilities and her wisdom to, like, get the Divine Beasts up and running and the machines, because the Master Sword still picked a hero to usher in. So, like, she's not mad at Link, but, like, she feels like she has failed as a ruler and as a princess and as kind of a goddess, because even with all of that on her side, he still got activated. So it's still happening. And then in another snippet, like, they're on the road because they're traveling to find the drivers for these Defined Beasts. You know, she's like, you know, that Master Sword, it says it has a voice and it calls out and it instructs the hero. And she's like, have you heard the voice yet? So, like, she's not even sure if Link is really the hero yet. And then in the last one that really kind of meant something, she's sitting by a tree and, like, he's just staring at her because, you know, like I said, he's a man of many words. But she's like, you know, you were born into the royal, you know, your family has served my family in the Royal Guard for years. And as soon as the calling came down, you began training to be a knight. But what if you wanted to do something else? So then she's starting to think, like, oh, man, because of your loyalty to the crown, any other future for you is non-existent. And, like, she's kind of pensive about it. So, like, there's a lot going on between him just wanting to smash and her passing all the time. I like that they're, like, thickening up the story a little bit. It's too bad they don't give Link any dialogue, because I actually feel like, one, it would make these scenes a lot stronger if we could actually hear what his thoughts are. Because, you know, as far as we know, as, you know, the player, like, this is his duty. He is proud to do it. He is honored to do it. But we don't know that for sure, because he never says anything. You know, right. He just does whatever.
Articulate it.
So it's just, like, it's so intriguing to me.
It does really kind of come across as a much deeper Zelda game than ever before.
Yeah,
because most, like, of the other Zelda games were all about, you know, you just continuing on the lore. And the story was always just a travel through the lore and not necessarily, you know, a relationship.
The character. And I mean, like, and the fact that they've introduced these new characters, because, I mean, you know, obviously the staples are still there. Like, you've got Zelda, you got Link, and you got Ganon. Okay, that's fine. But now we've got these divine beasts. Well, I mean, those are the mecha, but these drivers who we're eventually going to have to wake them up, desaturate the evil out of them. So the
drivers are actual people and not like drivers that you would download for like your mouse.
Right. And I wouldn't say people, because like one looks like Falco from Star Fox. Like, he looks like a blue bird. Then there's, like, this, like, big dwarven guy. And then there's, like, this purpley maroon lady who I think she's some other type of species of what? And then there's, if you ever played Shantae, the half-genie, there's, like, a, like, Egyptian-y genie type lady who's, like, kind of badass. Oh, actually, put Shantae, the half-genie, with Anthy from Utna, and that's kind of what she who she reminds me of, okay. Sort of, in terms of. But yeah, so like these are like guild top of the top, creme of the creme, like people to drive these giant mecha, like, because they're essentially giant robots that they have to pilot. So they're mechas, no matter how you shave them to me. And I know later on in the game, I'm going to have to face them and like win and then like get the corruption, the Calamity Ganon off of them and then get them back on my side. There are several different figures also who have been alive for the last 100 years waiting for Link to wake up to help him, like, help Zelda. Because Zelda's still fighting Calamity Ganon in the castle. Like, when you first show up, you can see the castle in the distance. And if you're dumb, you could totally run up to it. I don't suggest doing that. But you can. Because you can go right into the end fight with Ganon. Granted, you won't win with 3 hearts. Like, let me tell you that right now. That won't happen. But you
could. Did you try? Did you die?
So I didn't try necessarily, but like, because the game is so big, like I did cheat a little. Like, I was like, I wanted to start finding memories and I just wasn't having any luck with the photos because I didn't have any of the towers. So I didn't know where to look to kind of put me in the right direction. So like, I started with one and like, it was like, oh, go to the front of the castle. Don't go in the castle, but go to the front of the castle and there's like a courtyard and there'll be like this little glowy patch. And like, I show up there all sneaky and shit in my board shorts because I thought I could hit this up right quick. Nope, got a little too close to that castle. And Calamity Ganon was like, and then ultimate destruction happened and the game was over. And then I was like, let me try that again a little bit more stealthy. And then I got the memory and then I got the fuck out of Dodge. Out. There's so much nuance and finesse to this game. The physics, I think, are unparalleled or uncomparable to anything else that we've seen in a Zelda game altogether. I'm really looking forward to like getting to the nitty gritty and getting each like nook and cranny, and like the collector in me, like, I want to collect all the mushrooms. I want to make all the food. I want to, and I know that we've heard me say this with like Final Fantasy 15, because I was all about collecting all the things and having Ignis make me all the food. And then I was ready for that and getting all the royal arms. So like, they're hitting all the same notes that really appeal to the type of gamer that I am. And I mean, if you guys out there are very similar to me, then you will also be highly drawn in to the elements and stuff that this game allows. Now, the sad thing that with all this creation, because you can create potions and elixirs and food to restore your health and stuff, is that you can't build weapons. You can't forge weapons. You can't forge armor. Like, you can dye your clothes. Like, there's a fabulous dye guy in Hatsuno Village who will dye all your shit purple if you want. But like, you can't craft your own weapons, which I thought was kind of weird for this type of game, because in a world that has been obliterated, you would think that everyone would kind of be martial lawing, fashioning what any type of weapons they could to fight the monsters, but no one does. Like, literally, they pick up, like, farming hoes and, like, attack goblins with broomsticks, and, like, they could. There's a capacity for, you know, people to create stuff. I'm surprised that there are no blacksmiths. Because, you know, when my shit broke, I was like, can I just go to, like, a place and get some repair powder or whatever? Can I pay someone some rupees to, like, fix my stuff? No? What the fuck? Like, and you can't stash it either. Because, like, I feel like the world is a very closed world system. Everything that exists in the game, that's it for it. So when it gets destroyed in the game, that's it for that thing in that one location. So, like, there might be, like, 3 farmer hoes. I'm sure there's more than that. But if you happen to collect all of them and you break them all, they don't repopulate in the world, I don't think. You really have to be careful about the resources you use. Now, mind you, fauna and animals, they repopulate all the time because, you know, animals be humping. And, like, you just You could take out a boar and then find another boar and like kill them for their meat and then grill it up super nice. And their food is just as very cute. Like it does make me quite hungry when I make. Right. As long as it's not the dubious food. People have been waiting for this waiting for this game to drop when they first announced it. And I mean, people are just so involved in this process. I don't know where they're going to go from here. Because I mean, like I said, I'm nowhere near done in this game. Like, nada. No done. Nah. And like, I worry that I won't make it through this game. Granted, I feel I will make considerable time considering that I spent at least, I think it was at 60, 70 hours in Final Fantasy 15 before I was like, nope, I'm done. Even though that episode Gladio came out, you got to finish the game to play that. Sorry, not happening. I'm not going back to that.
You're not going back to a Final Fantasy game.
No. What? And it's really sad because like I said, it did a lot of things right. They should have just never done that chapter 13. Like, one, shouldn't have even put the number 13 anywhere in that game. They should have just like jumped over it like we do for bad luck. Like, oh, now we're in chapter 14. What happened to 13? You don't want to know. Like, we don't talk about it because it's bad luck. Like, it's just bad luck. And I know when, like, I think in Chinese culture, 13 is actually a lucky number. That has not been the case for these Japan games, but that's beside the point. It tore me out of it because of just how jarring the chapter was. And granted, you know, I had my doubts going in and out of that game because at one point you get the ability to go travel back through time because you're Prince Noctis and apparently you have powers to manipulate time, which are like, why didn't your dad just do it before he got iced? Since apparently he had the ability. There are loopholes here that no one wants to address, and it bothers me. So if you can't give me an answer to justify why there's this black dog that lets me travel through time, then I'm not going to play your game. But it seems like everything that happens in Zelda, people explain it to Link. Because like I said, the man of many words, like people just plot dump on him all the time, but everyone is giving him information. So if you happen to be in an area that's really tough, if you find someone who's walking around, they will tell you, yeah, we got influxed by these overpowered blah blah blahs, and you know, you really don't want to be here around night, like nighttime. As soon as that sun dips, you want to be like haltered up because they'll wreck your shit. They give you everything. People in this world are trying to assist you, except for like the ninja clan that's trying to kill you. I still haven't really figured out what their purpose in the world is, except to kill Link and stop him from messing with Calamity Ganon's warpath or whatever. There's just so much exploration.
So then my question to you is there too much? Do you feel overwhelmed by how big and frankly open the world is? Because this is the first time that you've had, really truly, on a newer console, open world Zelda. Because the original Zelda on the NES, like if you got the big map, if you were getting Nintendo Power back in the day,
You could have gotten that, or you could have gone school and mapped it yourself.
You could have, but I got the map, and then I won't name names, but it was destroyed by someone.
Me.
And so then I had to like map out my own map to keep track of where I've been and where I've gone. But you could go anywhere on that map, whether, you know, just like in this game, whether you had the power and stamina to deal with all the enemies that were there was up to you, but you could go anywhere in the map. And if you had the whole map, you could straight go to, if you ran through the screen fast enough, the end boss and end the game. And so it was open world in that you weren't restricted. It didn't force you to go any particular way. You could choose the way that you went, but it was very limited because, you know, it was a 8-bit game. So there's only so much you could see on the screen at a time and only so many enemies that could be on the screen at the time. And so it really was up to you and your creativity on how you went through the game. Then you got, you know, as we got more and more platforms down the road and better graphics, you started having games that, you know, went longer, but they were very linear. And now again, a non-linear, very, very open and completely full world, by the way, of Zelda. And I wonder, is it too much?
Great question. For me being, I want to say that I've probably spent about 10 to 15 hours in
right now, I would guesstimate. I might even be a little bit under that. Like I said earlier, before I really talked about this game, that there's so much in this game that if you're easily distracted, which I am very shiny, happy keys, what, in real life, let alone in my games, you will often get distracted and will often veer off the path that you have designated for yourself. So you get lost in your own exploration because you're just curious about what else will this game let me do. Do I think it's a lot? Absolutely. Like, I think Zelda Breath of the Wild was really trying to take all the things that core demographic of gamers tend to like. Platforming, you've got. Item management, absolutely. You have, you know, the maps, like giant, big maps, absolutely. I think it can be overwhelming for some. Now, when I go into a game, I already kind of walk in going, okay, Amanda, for like the next 2 to 3 hours that you're potentially going to be playing this game, or at least until your eyes give out, you want to get at least 4 shrines, you want to cook at least 3 new meals, and hopefully, you know, take out at least 1 guardian, like try to figure out this pattern. Like, I'm setting limitations to what I do, because otherwise I could aimlessly wander in this world and not feel like I've made any type of progress. Like, and for people who are like that, like, they're going to dump a lot of time into this game and not realize where it's going. So I would be mindful of always having a plan of what you'd like to accomplish. And I mean, obviously, if something fun and intriguing happens in the game, then obviously explore that. Be careful. It's kind of a black hole, but it's like a very pretty black hole. Like, kind of like what happens in Interstellar when Matt McConaughey goes in the black hole, but then he's like in the 5th dimension, which is kind of weird for humans since we can only see and perceive the 3rd. And he already jumped to, so it was like, blah! Spoilers if you haven't seen Interstellar.
Too late.
It's kind of like that. Like, there's so much going on all the time that I think, unless you're a highly organized player, which for these type of games, open world collecting, like, you kind of have to have a mindset. Like, when I was playing, was it Brotherhood or the one after Brotherhood? I think it was after Assassin's Creed, after Brotherhood. Like, when I got really obsessed with, like, getting all the paintings, seeing all the doctor's visits, doing all the side quests. Yeah, I think so. But, like, I would plop down in one area of the city and I would get all those things. And I wouldn't leave that part until I got all the things. And then I move to the next one and all the things. And I mean, like, it's kind of hard to do that in this game because you don't really know how big your world is until you do the towers. So you should be aiming to try to do towers first, but realize that some of these towers are surrounded by OP things. So the game will not allow you to follow the traditional format to completing this game. So it really does challenge you, but it can loop you into, like, several rings of repeating the same courses. I found myself going down the same path 2 or 3 times and going, what have I just spent 40 minutes doing? Like, I'm trying to get over to my star marker and, like, I've been to the same stables twice now. You could get turned around very easily. So, I mean, I commend it for its creativity and wanting to expand the world. I would totally hope that in the next variation of this, which won't be for some time, that maybe they cut, like, a fourth of their stuff out. And then maybe reintroduce it as DLC or something. They've always, Zelda, Nintendo in general has always just kind of been like, we want to give you a finished product. They really don't believe in doing DLC in their, you know, flagship games, which I get. There's only so much you can put into a game that people can respond to. Not pointing any names, Rockstar, but GTA 5 had way too much shit in it. Like, you could spend all day just doing yoga with Michael if you wanted to. And some people did. Like, not pointing at anyone. Totally pointing at me. Spend a whole day just doing story missions where Michael was doing yoga in random parts of the city until he finally landed on, like, a mountain peak doing, like, the perfect sun pose. And I was like, yeah, because this completely enriches the story in every facet. Now Michael is a well-balanced bank robber.
He's like, found his inner core, so.
But I'm just saying, like, they put in all that stuff. And then, like, you could spend all day, you know, playing tennis in that game. And, like, the tennis sucked, but you could do it. You could go boogie boarding and just sit in the water all day and do nothing. Any of these things boosted up your stats from when you went back to, like, you know, shooting whores in the face? Okay, but that's not what that was about. They're just about, oh, yeah, we can do all this stuff. See all the stuff we can do? Like, here's my dick. Bam. Slap, wet sound, whatever sound effect you feel should be attached to the revealing of a phallic symbol. But at least I feel like with the stuff that is presented in the Zelda game is that everything that you're doing is to Link's and Hyrule's benefit. All the cooking he does, eventually you'll find that the things that he makes will show up in places where you can buy food. So, like, they're not already available until they are created. They don't go out there into the world. So, like, you will see that happen. People won't start talking about elixirs until you accidentally create one. So, like, you're kind of the father of new Hyrule, like, in terms of history and development. And that might just be my take on what's happening. But I find a random busted sword and now all of a sudden, like, enemies are attacking me with them. So, like, I feel like it's a lot of lead, let lead sort of going on in the world. I'm not too sure, but if they took out about a fourth of what they put into this, I think the game would be even better than I already feel like it is. And I mean, like, I can't wait to see what else comes out of Switch games, because I mean, this was a great game to come out of the gate. I'm so glad that it wasn't Mario Odyssey. I have hesitations about that game on, yes, like four different levels right now. And I'm a big Mario fan, as you know. Yes.
I'm well aware.
I have several theories about Mario and all that junk. This game really kind of threw half of them out the window, because here we thought he was like a plumber from New York who like got sent to the Mushroom Kingdom, yet he's in like this New York-y town and like all the regular humans are all regular sized and he's still tiny. So clearly he's not human. Clearly he's of the Mushroom, like Mushroom Kingdom universe, even if he's not particularly from the Mushroom Kingdom itself. It begs the question of who the fuck are they? Like, who is Mario Mario and who's Luigi Mario? And like,
why is he named Mario Mario?
I was watching, and what a horrible tangent this is, but since we're here, I've been obsessed with game theory lately, like particularly the YouTube channel of Game Theory. Like, they are a great team of people who dig down deep. I like Rosalina as a character. Like, I absolutely love her from the galaxy, Mario Galaxy stuff. Love her to death. And, like, everyone's kind of like, you know, what's her deal? Like, what's her tie-in to the worlds and stuff? And everyone's like, oh, well, she's clearly, like, the daughter of Princess Peach. It's like, yeah, okay, I'm not against that. But are you saying that that's Mario and Peach's kid? Because I don't believe that at all. I actually secretly think that Luigi got down on Princess Peach because she has the same.
I don't think that Rosalina's Peach's daughter. I think that she might be in Peach's lineage, but I don't think that she's Peach's daughter.
I think she is. And because, I mean, if you play through Mario Galaxy 2, when she's talking, okay, well, she talks at the very, very end, because you can play that game as Mario and you can play that game as Luigi. When you play through it as Mario, she gives him dialogue. She's like, yeah, she's like, I come back here every so many years to the planet that my dad called home. And, you know, and if she was standing with her dad, she would say you, like she would acknowledge you, but she doesn't. But then when you play as Luigi, that scene plays out a little bit differently. And she coyly dances around it, but she kind of pseudo acknowledges Luigi as like that important someone. So you're kind of like, what? Yeah. Wait. Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So Rosalina is genetically Luigi and Princess Peach's daughter.
What?
So Mario doesn't even. Yeah. So whatever timeline that you have ever mapped out from all the Mario games, you're probably wrong, because Mario ends up with Daisy at the end and not Peach. Yeah.
How is this possible?
You check out Game Theory and they map it out, and it took them like, I want to say it took like 6 months to do it all, because they went through all the games because so they stumbled on it because they were doing the lineage of Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
And they found out that obviously the Donkey Kong from Jumpman, which was originally what Mario was called.
Yeah.
That is not, that's not K, that's not Diddy Kong, that's not Kong. That's not Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not DK. The old monkey guy from Donkey Kong, that was him. That was him as a virile gorilla monkey. Grandpa Kong or whatever he's called. And that was him then. So age-wise, that wouldn't work, clearly. Cause, but they hashed it out way better than I could ever give them credit for. But they're like, yeah, so clearly in the time that Grandpa Kong would have found a mate and had Donkey Kong, clearly the Jumpman from Jumpman is not the same Mario that we know. There's clearly time for, and mind you, that Mario was trying to get Pauline, I think, was the lady. Pauline and Jumpman are the parents of Mario, and it makes sense. So DK and Mario that we know are the kids of the prior. And pushing forward.
Yeah, I'm with that. I follow that. Yeah. That makes sense.
So when they unlocked that, like, so if we were assuming that Jumpman was the same guy, there's no way that could be. And that's what spurred them to do all this research and stuff. And, like, it is amazing, this theory. And I can't imagine, like, if they're wrong, it's still really good. Like, I know people are really big into, like, uncracking Disney theories right now, like, trying to place where all the princesses line up in the stories and shit, and, like, mind-boggling stuff. But going back to Nintendo and going back to Zelda, I am excited to get back into it and to uncover more, because I feel like they've put so much emphasis on establishing not just lore anymore, but, like, true character exploration and fleshing out more motives, like the motives of everybody involved now. I feel like it's a much deeper, enriched experience in Breath of the Wild. I would love, through this, maybe revisiting Twilight Princess a little bit, and maybe in future alterations, Link somehow getting to the Shadow World again and, like, playing around in that space with Minda again, because they were playing around some interesting concepts on that that they haven't really addressed since then. And I feel like Twilight Princess was, like, probably one of the darker Zelda games that we got.
Definitely was the darkest Zelda game that we've ever had.
But I like that they were playing with, you know, they were playing with the darker tones, because clearly this universe has dark and light going on, and Ganon cannot be the only negative force impacting the world. Like, he could be the greatest one, but he can't be the only one. There's still other things going on. And I'd love for us to get more information on those things as they either build up or diminish the biggest impact that Ganon is having on the universe. But, like, I could sit here all day and talk about it, but I would eat up most of our show, which I think I've actually kind of done.
Which you really actually have done. That's okay. That's all right. Because I do that way too often.
Like, it's
an experience. Because I usually have a lot to talk about. And it is a big experience, which is why I really wanted to give the episode to you, because it is a big game and it is a big experience. And even in everything that we've just been talking about or listening to, if you're like me, is really at the tip of the iceberg, because you are still traversing the game. You haven't gotten through.
I haven't even gotten in through the basic premise of, yeah, you got to get this shit done. Like, it's just like, you need to get powerful enough to take out Calamity Ganon and figure out how you're going to do that in this horrible world. Bye.
Good luck to you.
Like, exactly. Like, no one's like, we'll help you. They're all like, you're the hero, man. This is your job. It's
figure
like,
it out.
But I could use some notes. Did anyone leave me? Is there a Starbucks? I need some coffee. I need to caffeinate. I've been asleep for 100 years. Like, what? It's so intoxicating, intriguing, definitely infuriating. Like, the scheme, the UI scheme has completely presented a new challenge to me, and I'm sure to a bunch of people, but it's all good. Like, it gives me the same excitement that Demon's Souls during my first run gave me. There are moments where, like, I want to rage quit so bad, but then I go back in there and I manage to succeed, and, like, I get overwhelmed with accomplishment and I feel rewarded for all of my hard work. And then I begin to work smarter which is much better than working hard. It's better to work smart than work hard. And I feel myself thinking about that when I boot up the game. So I know that I'm feeling this. There are other people out there who are probably feeling something very similar. If you haven't had a chance to play this game and you have a Wii U and you don't have a Switch and you're not planning on getting a Switch, then I feel the experience would still be just as palpable on the Wii U. So do it. Get in there. Get Hyrule'd up. Go after that home girl. Kick Calamity Ganon's butts if he has a physical form. I don't know. Just use an air purifier or a shop vac. Get him up real quick. Find a genie ball or something. Seal him up in that. I don't know. There's got to be a way. That's what I've been playing for like the last like 4 days straight, and we'll play after the show's done.
Well, I am continuing to play Mass Effect. This week, BioWare released a big update to the platform that fixed some basically game-wrecking bugs. Unfortunately, I'd already run into one of those bugs, so I had to go back to a previous save, which made me lose about 2.5 hours of progress, which sucked, so I had to redo a whole planet.
Aw, boo!
Yeah, real boo. But whatever. But they did fix it, so I was able to complete the planet, and I've moved on since then. I will say this about the update, you know, for the complaints that people made about, you know, character eyes and things like that, that's one of the things that they worked to address in this update. And so Deadeye is gone from the game in all characters. And it is absolutely clearly visible that Deadeye is gone. So the eyes actually look like eyes again, which is great because your characters, you know, they feel less fake. They still have to work on some of the vocal animations, but the team has already said that they're aware of that and they're working on it. So I give them props because, again, BioWare works really hard to make sure that their games are what the community wants, and I give them a lot of credit for putting in that work ceaselessly to make that happen. Additionally, this week, Microsoft announced the tech specs for Project Scorpio, which is their new box, which is slated still for holiday 2017. So I imagine E3 is going to be kind of a big fucking deal.
Okay.
Because I imagine they're going to reveal the box and probably some games at E3. At their briefing. And it may be the reason that they moved their briefing from their traditional Monday spot to the Sunday spot. Yeah. Make sure that more people could watch it, streaming it at home, you know, because a lot of people at work, their networks are restricted and they can't get to those types of streams. So I think that's part of the main reason that they decided to move away from Monday and move to the Sunday. So now you have Bethesda and Microsoft's media briefings on the Sunday before the show officially starts, which is interesting. Looking at the specs, if you're not a big spec person, I'm just going to break it down to really what the core big things are. And the biggest thing is the amount of memory and what they're doing with the chip processor in this box. As an example, currently, even on the PS Pro side, they've got about 8 gigs of DDR RAM dedicated for graphics.
Okay. Oh.
Which is a nice chunk. That's on the PS Pro. In the Scorpio box, they've got 12 gigs of the DDR5 RAM dedicated. So they're putting a lot of focus into their GPU. They've got more cores. It runs faster than any of the consoles currently on the market. The amount of RAM that they're putting in it dwarfs any of the current consoles out on the market. Okay, they are specifically going at creating a system that can easily handle, with no issues, pushing 4K at 60 frames a second. Their demo that they showed off was Forza running.
Oh, that game you'll never play for Forza.
Running at 60 frames a second in 4K. And it looked like you were watching a race on TV. Like, the realism was ridiculous, and not a single drop frame. So what they're really aiming at is a system that can truly push games hard and has enough open bandwidth. I think it's like somewhere in the neighborhood of like 320 gigabytes with all the cores wide open and all RAM being taken advantage of by a developer. There's 320 gigs of bandwidth available in the memory. So that makes loading frames, preloading areas, or big game possible.
Oh.
So, and that's, of course, if this all actually works in conjunction the way they say it works. looking at the Forza demo, which was gameplay, it wasn't just a movie. It is making me seriously question whether or not I should get a 4K TV. Because while if you hook the system up to a HD LED TV, you're still not going to get the benefit of if you're actually looking at it on a 4K TV. I have an Xbox One S, but I don't have it hooked up to a 4K TV. So it looks good, but I know it probably
Could it look better?
I know that some games that were actually designed to take advantage of a 4K screen, probably would look a little bit better. But again, I don't know that. So, you know, I don't even have it hooked up to a TV that can do 1080p right now because it's my stream box. So I have it set up to TV so that I can stream. So I just have it hooked up to a TV and a monitor. I'll talk more in depth about the specs on our show next week when I have much more time. But what I will say is this. If you don't yet have an Xbox One and you have been on the fence about getting one, definitely hold off until E3. Because if they're going to be shipping for holiday, that means before Christmas, there will be boxes. They'll probably be in limited supply, like the Switch is currently. But that may be the box you want to get, especially if you already have a 4K TV.
But not all of us have 4K TVs.
Right. But if you have one and you've been like, I think I want to get a console and I might, you know, get an Xbox One S because, the S does support 4K TVs. All I'm saying is you might want to hold off on getting that S and just wait. June is closer than you really know.
That is true.
So I would wait on that console purchase until you hear what Microsoft has to say at E3. Because I think if they have the right games to demo, it'll be a smash.
Do you think a gaming riot will happen?
Not a gaming riot, but look at it like this, right? So if I come to you and say, hey, for all you bleeding edge tech people who just cycled over from your big screen LED TVs or your plasma TVs to a 4K TV and you've been looking for something that has much more 4K content.
Capabilities.
Right? Because there's not a lot of 4K content out there to be consumed, right? So if you're looking for something that can help deliver you some awesome 4K stuff, and oh, by the way, some pretty cool games, we've got the box for you because this thing is a beast. We put our best fucking cores in this thing. We put the best RAM that we could put in it. The amount of bandwidth that is available with our graphics card and the system that we put up in here is better than NVIDIA's top card. So we have this in a box. And if you understand what we just said, great. And if you didn't, here, let me show you Forza running in 4K at 60 frames a second. Let me show you Cuphead, okay, running in 4K.
Man, you are holding out for that.
Holding out
for a Cuphead.
Okay, and then on top of that, here's what our staple games look like up-resed on this system. Because just like they up-res the backwards compatible games, I'm going to imagine that they're going to up-res existing games that you play on Scorpio. So here, let's take your copy of, Halo 5. And let's see what that looks like on Scorpio. The killer would be if they release this box with the specs that they have now at the price point that they have for the Xbox One S. There will be a lot of people pre-ordering that box. I'll be honest with you. If the price point for a Scorpio is the price point of the Xbox One S, I will be buying a Scorpio.
Okay.
And so I'll have to find someone to take my Xbox, my day one Xbox. Because I don't need three systems.
No. No, you do not. You don't even have enough TVs to support having three of them.
Well, I'd have to get a 4K TV. So then I would have enough TVs to support them. But my husband's already called dibs on my 60-inch TV if I get a 4K TV to use as his computer. So I won't have a TV for that third box. I could just retire it because it is a day one box.
I could.
But actually, I know who I would give it to, so it's all good.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't want.
Actually, what I would do is I would give the S to someone I know who to give it to and keep my day one box.
I don't have enough. I do. I don't need. But wanting is different than needing.
You know, it really is. It is. So, you know, I want the Scorpio to come out priced the same as the Xbox One S. It probably won't. But that's what I want. So I think we're at a good point to wrap it up here because my mind is still swimming with all the Zelda stuff. And I do have a Wii U that I haven't turned on in like over a year at this point. So
like it would be a great game to go back to revisit your Woo.
But do I want to revisit the Woo? I don't know. But I'm thinking about it because of your recommendations. So
I mean, it is. And I, like I said, I'm not even further enough in the game, but I'm already like super hopeful and like excited for more. So like clearly the game gives you so much to do, has so much replayability. Like it is uncanny.
Well, there you have it. So if you enjoyed all the stuff that we've talked about today on the podcast, please make sure that you subscribe to our podcast. You can get it on our website, electricsisterhood.com. Right on the homepage, we have links to subscribe in iTunes or to grab our RSS feed. You can also get the podcast through Stitcher Radio, through Google Play, and on VogNetwork.com. Pretty much every podcast aggregator out on the planet, you can find the Eshcast in and subscribe. So make sure that you do that. Also, be sure to bookmark our site as well as all the other amazing sites that are part of the Esh family. So it starts with electricsisterhood.com. Then you move over to b3crew.com with our homie KBD, King Baby Duck, with the No Borders, No Race podcast. If it's indie, if it's anime, manga, K-pop, J-pop, and everything around and in between, including games, he's talking about it as well as the crew over there. So make sure that you bookmark his site, that you subscribe to his podcast. It's absolutely great. You'll hear all kinds of stuff that you probably are not hearing normally in your day life. So definitely make sure you check that out. Also, check out smashrook.com, held down by the homie HamsterMan2049. He streams every Wednesday night live at 9 Eastern on Twitch, twitch.tv/HamsterMan2049. If you visit our Facebook page, you'll see the link right before he goes live. You can jump on there, be part of chat, check out the games that he's playing. Everything from old and new is up for grabs on his stream, so make sure that you join him Wednesday nights at 9. Our homie with the best TV show recaps on the planet. Yes, we're biased, but they're still that good. Phil the Issues Guy with Phil's Recap and Review on YouTube. You can be part of chat, call in live. They're absolutely fantastically funny recaps. Make sure that you check them out, bookmark all of his stuff as well. And last but certainly not least, our homies over at nerdcrave.com, giving you the stuff that nerds crave. Make sure that you check them out. All kinds of great anime, comic book, and video game news and reviews at nerdcrave.com. We are on social. You can be social with us. If there's something you want us to check out, something you want us to review, it's easily done. All you got to do is go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. Hit us up. If you want to put a public comment on our page, you can. If you just want to private message us, you can do that as well and be like, yo, you guys should check out and review, blah, blah, blah. If we do, we'll give you a shout out on the podcast that we took your advice and here's what we had to think about it. You can also hit us up on Twitter at ESH News and check out all the news and reviews that we're writing and the stuff that we're reading and we're sharing and aggregating on our Twitter feed. You can also hit us up on Instagram at ESH News when we are taking photos of the games that we're playing or we're out and about at shows. If there's something cool that we see, we'll put it up on our Instagram feed. So make sure that you check us out there. Ping us, like us, love us. Because we love you.
We do.
I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Titties.
Titties.